SBS தமிழ்.
Greetings, Mr. Pascoe. You have been researching and have written about the first Australians being farmers and not hunter-gatherers. How did you embark on such a research?
Well, the history of Australia that I was taught in school didn't appear to make any sense in terms of how Europeans invaded the land and took over the land. It just didn't seem logical and didn't seem to fit with any of the other experiences of colonial countries. And when I began to investigate that, I found that there was a land war took place over a number of years for possession of the soil, which Aboriginal people lost. But I also found information which indicated that Aboriginal people were not mere hunters and gatherers, but were conducting agriculture around the country and had domesticated a large number of plants, which they were cultivating and harvesting on a regular basis. So it seemed to me that the history needed to reflect the truth of Aboriginal culture and history.
Of the many stories we have found to prove the farming culture among the first Australians, can you please narrate a story of your choice?
There were stories of vast fields of agriculture being witnessed by non-Aboriginal people, but one story that I found very telling was when Charles Sturt was trying to so-called explore Australia. You know, explore is a ridiculous concept when the land was already very well known by Aboriginal people for 100,000 years. But when he was doing his so-called exploration, he was dying. Members of his party had died or were close to death. Many of the horses had died and they were virtually at death's door, and discovered that below them there were a group of Aboriginal people, 400 Aboriginal people, who took them in and fed them roast duck and cake. And they had been harvesting grain from an ephemeral riverbed, converting it into flour and making bread, which Sturt said was the lightest and sweetest tasting cake he'd ever eaten. And it's just indicative of the occupation of Australia that Europeans were dying and Aboriginal people were prospering, not just living from hand to mouth, picking up berries and roots and grubs, but actually prospering on the fat of the land, something which Australians still can't do in those parts of Australia. So I found it a very telling story about the difference between European occupation of the land and Aboriginal people's knowledge of the land.
Is it because history is written by the victors?
That's right, yes.
In other parts of the world where Europeans colonized, treaties were written between the locals and the colonizers. That did not happen in Australia.
No. Australia is a very particular case because Aboriginal people had developed a law which didn't rely on war. It relied on negotiation and the law itself to maintain communication, discipline and care in the across the country between groups, and it wasn't based on war. So it's a particular situation, and in other places like New Zealand, like India, like the United States, where there were warlike peoples, the nature of the colony was on a war footing. In Australia, Aboriginal people took a while to fight back because the law required them to incorporate new arrivals into the system. So Aboriginal people weren't actually at war with Europeans for about 7 or 8 years. And once Aboriginal people realised that they would have to fight back if they were to hold their land, then a war took place. But under circumstances where smallpox reduced the population by 80%, meaning that it was impossible for Aboriginal people to actually maintain a war footing, and therefore treaties were ignored.
I understand that the Aboriginal people did not believe that they could own land. Did that play a role in this?
That's correct. Certainly, Aboriginal people didn't believe you could possess the soil, so that it meant that it was difficult for Aboriginal people to understand the meaning of possession of the soil, because Aboriginal people believed that they owed absolute allegiance to the earth itself, not the other way around.
How is your research that proves that the Australian Aboriginal people were farmers and not hunter-gatherers received by the wider population?
Oh, look, generally it has been received very well, including by historians. People are amazed that 230 years later, the documentary evidence supplied by explorers and pioneers hadn't made it into the history of the country. People are understandably surprised by that and annoyed. Now, there are some people who are resentful. There are some people who can't get their head around the fact that Aboriginal people had special knowledge of the country or had a special economy, an attachment, an agricultural economy. But those people are few. Generally, people accept the fact that this part of the history of the country was just left out of the victor's story, and now is the time to include it.
A few people you mentioned includes people like Andrew Bolt.
Yeah. Andrew Bolt represents a proportion of Australia which is decidedly racist and decidedly head in the sand. But those people are always there. And in fact, those people have always been in any civilization. There are some people who don't have the generosity of the best angels of our hearts and can't see anything but their own welfare, their own superiority. And so it doesn't matter what point of history, what country, what group of people you go to, you'll find those people are there. All we have to do is encourage those better angels.
Talking about better angels, do you think that the Australian Parliament would include the first Australians in the Constitution?
Look, I don't care much for paper because, as you mentioned before, a lot of those treaties that had been signed between Indigenous peoples around the world were dishonoured in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. There's a wall full of them, of those treaties signed in goodwill by First Nation American people with American presidents, generals, you name it, they signed it. And none of them were on it, not one. All were dishonoured. So the paper, to me, means very little. What is important is the willingness of the human spirit to treat all peoples as equally human and respond to their needs in accordance with that idea. I'd be happy for constitutional recognition. I think it's a vital part of any scheme, but really it's only a bit of paper, and I'd be happy for a treaty. I think it'd be a really productive thing to do, but once again, it's only a bit of paper. It's what's in people's hearts that matters. It's the blood that flows through them. That is the thing that has to change. It has to change in temperature, and it has to change in will.
Is the gap closing?
I don't think the gap can ever close. While Australians believe that they are doling out charity to Aboriginal people, until Australians understand how they came by the land and the terrible injustice that was dealt to Aboriginal people. And you know, call a spade, Aboriginal people were massacred en masse. There were massacres all over the country. We still don't know how many people were killed. We know there were thousands, and that has never been recompensed. And, you know, once again, recompense is just a bit of paper. What has to change is knowledge and acceptance of that knowledge, and we go from there. I don't want to revisit massacres. Most of my people don't. We remember them. We'll never forget them. You know, we visit those sites. We know the names of the people who were killed. We'll never forget. And that's part of our law, is to remember and honour. We have to also look after our children. And so we can't wallow in the past. We have to move forward. We hope that our fellow Australians will move forward with us.
There have been studies done to show the DNA connection between the first Australians and the Tamil people, or the people from southern India.
Yes, I've heard that too. And we share some words and we share some physical characteristics. So that's a pretty obvious connection. And I don't know whether that was a north-south or south-north movement, but I've been to India and I've noticed that Tamil people have a physical similarity to Aboriginal people, share some words and share some attachments to the land. And Aboriginal people have been here for a minimum of 100,000 years. So calls into question when that connection took place, but doesn't deny the fact that there probably was a connection.
Thank you very much for your time and for the knowledge you shared, Mr. Pascoe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk to Tamil people.
SBS தமிழ் ஃபேஸ்புக்கை லைக் செய்வதுடன் நிகழ்ச்சிகள் பற்றிய கருத்துக்களை நமக்கு அறிய தாருங்கள்.